Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and Kurt Rogers joining us at Fort Ometris Mortgage for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, how was your weekend, sir?
Mine was pretty nice. You know, just another beautiful fall weekend in Colorado. How can you complain?
It wasn't too bad at all. Other than the fires, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, concerned about all them people up there. That's ugly stuff.
Yeah, it's not good. So speaking of all of that, though, what's our market doing, you know, now compared to a year ago? I kind of know where we're at with certain used, you know, used values in certain parts of town and some, but overall, how are we doing?
It is actually surprising a lot of people. Property values are up 6-7% in most areas. The funny thing is purchase sales are up 23% from last year, and last year was a killer year. It's really amazing. The day supply on homes available for sale are really hard. And refinances are up year-to-date 56% above last year.
56.
A lot of that's driven because of the interest rate. So people are really taking advantage of these low rates.
Kurt, do you see with the 6 months being floated by the federal government running out, do you see more houses possibly hitting the market?
Actually, yeah. What we're seeing, we're getting a lot of people that are going out and buying new builds. And they're not going to be done for 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's the demand for properties, even the builders can't keep up with them.
Yep. Yep. No, you're exactly right. And I hate to, you know, I hate to be this guy, but with all the fires going on and some of the structure loss that's there, you know, we're going to have homes that'll be getting rebuilt, and you'll have people doing things there and carpenters on, you know, hand and on staff there. None of that's going to help us get these things done any faster, by the way, which will actually, in my opinion, Kurt, if there's a silver lining to some of what we're seeing, you're going to see property values even increase more because of what I just said.
Because it's short supply, bigger demand. You
yep.
are absolutely right, John. It's a lot of people say you can't keep doing it, but it's still doing it. It's doing very well.
Well, and when you lose homes on the market, again, folks, even if the people that we have rebuild exactly where they're at in the exact same place the fire took place, it still takes tradesmen, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, and so on to get those things back up. And that takes away from those other new homes, Kurt, that you just mentioned, that, you know, there's only so many tradesmen to go around to get things built. And people don't realize
that's right.
That the same framers building a $300,000 house are the same framers building a $1.5 million house. They're one and the same. So when you lose tradesmen on either end of that, it puts more demand on what's there, Kurt.
That's exactly right. And it's going to continue. Colorado's still a place that people are moving to. Too many from California, but they're still moving.
They are.
Moving
I read,
there.
And just along those lines, I know it's our Monday Mortgage Minute, but this is a perfect place to add this. Do you realize that there was a list that came out last week, I think it was Friday, Richard sent it to me, on the top places to live in the country, 150 best places to live in America. Did you see that list?
I did. Guess who's number one?
Boulder, number one. Denver, number two. Austin, number three. Colorado Springs, number four. Fort Collins, number five. Do you see who's at the top of the, you know, who's in the top five? There's all but one place from Colorado in the top five, Kurt.
It's just everybody likes living here.
So when you look at that list, and that starts making even more rounds, and more people start looking at Colorado that never thought about it, everything you just said even compounds more.
That's right.
So, all right, so how do folks get a hold of you?
720-895-0500, or then go to our website at aimortgage.net.
What's tomorrow on Haystack?
We're going to be talking with Mike Hills about rental properties and what's going on with those and the opportunities out there, even in this market. There are some phenomenal opportunities out there on rental properties.
Well done. Kurt, as always, I appreciate it, sir.
Take care.
Have a great night, and we'll come back. We got Scott Gessler, who's going to join us here in just a few minutes. Scott was on with Andy, about a week or so ago, I want to say?
Yeah. about a week and a half ago.
So we'll have Scott on, and we'll introduce him here in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, hang tight. Mighty Hand Construction's coming up next. And, folks, as we just talked to Kurt a moment ago, you may really need to sit down and evaluate, do I redo what I have, you know, do some remodeling, expansion, whatever? Do I do a few fix-up things and then move? You know, basically, what do I need to do to make things work for me and my family? And you know what? I don't have that answer, and I don't know that anybody has a direct answer. But once you get enough information from folks like Kurt or Mighty Hand, you can figure out exactly what you need to do next. So in Northern Colorado, Mighty Hand is our go-to. Whether you've got any remodeling project, expansion, basements, roof, window siding, you name it, that's Mighty Hand Construction. Find them at klzradio.com.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof, but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in Northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Now, I don't know who Jeffrey Toobin is. Who is he?
Toobin. What
are you
talking
about?
I don't know, no. Offhand.
He's somebody from the New Yorker. Does that ring a bell? Is he like a journalist or something?
Oh, actually, yeah, that does sound familiar, but go ahead.
Okay, so, well, he's been suspended by the New Yorker for pulling out his
private parts. Yeah, I know. Okay.
On a work phone call and didn't realize the camera was on. CNN contributor Charlie said. He was taking some time off. Well, he's got a lot of time off now.
Yeah, wasn't this one like one of those, a lot of time off, one of those Zoom calls?
Yeah, what not to do in a Zoom call? Just.
And what not to zoom in on?
101.
Right.
What not to do? All right, Scott Gessler joining us now, former Secretary of State of the great state of Colorado. Scott, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
We are doing very well. I think I think I'm doing a lot better than Jeffrey Toobin. Just saying.
Talk about the most pedantic conventional wisdom that exists. It's just from a sort of the quality of his quality of his writing and thinking, but it's sort of pretty dramatic what happened to him.
You probably won't be seeing much of him anymore.
We've already seen enough.
some already saw too much. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his stuff wasn't even that good to begin with. His writing. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about losing that. No,
you're not going to miss him, Scott. You're going to be okay. You're going to bear up.
Yeah, there you go.
I will survive. You know, it's interesting. He wrote a book quite a few years ago called The Nine about the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh.
Right about the same time as another woman wrote one, a woman named Jan Greenberg wrote one called Supreme Conflict. So there were two major books that came out about the U.S. Supreme Court at the same time. And his looks terrible against the quality of research and thinking and writing that she put into hers.
Gotcha.
So,
well, it's too bad that he got suspended right when he was planning on writing the 13, you know, if Biden wins.
Yeah, there you go, the 13.
The update.
All right, so, Scott, speaking of moving forward, and we had a great question here earlier from Charlie, our engineer, which I thought was really really accurate in what he was asking, and that is, did we feel, he asked Andy, and now we're going to ask you the same thing, this push by the Democrats to get folks to vote early, which we can talk more about that even in our own state and how our mail-in voting works and so on. But, you know, do you think there's been a big push by a lot of Democrats across the country to get folks to, you know, vote early, whether it's in mail or what have you, because of all of this Hunter Biden stuff that's now coming out?
I would not be surprised. I do think from a general standpoint, the answer is yes, in that their candidate, Biden, is just a it's just a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, he's really been running out the clock, you know, staying in his basement as much as possible. And they're afraid he's going to have a, you know, a bad moment that'll go viral or something's going to happen. So I don't know if they were actually thinking about the Hunter Biden stuff, but I think they know deep down inside he's just a disaster. And the more people look at him, the less they're going to like him. I sort of call it the politics of contempt, certainly when it comes to Democrats. You know, you look at Hillary Clinton, her polling last presidential cycle was by far the best when she wasn't out talking to anyone, when she was just thinking of being president. That's when her polling was best. And the more people got to know her, the less they liked her policies and what she's about. And I think the same thing with Biden. The more people get to know him, the more they actually scrutinize him, you know, his huge tax increases, his court packing, the whole deal. As soon as they learn more about him, they like him less. I think the Democrats are pushing very hard to get votes in, bank the votes.
Yep, agree.
Before people learn more about him.
Scott, you've been around politics a long time. I mean, you've seen so much. Have you ever seen a campaign be able to utterly hide itself like this in your life? And I'm not just talking about Joe Biden hiding in his basement, you know, and not being out there doing interviews. I'm talking about not speaking out on the Hunter Biden tapes and emails, which are just the most damning thing I've ever seen. Not saying if you're going to pack the court, and if you pack the court, refusing to put out a list of what judges you would nominate. I mean, this guy is literally hiding everything about himself. Have you ever seen a candidate able to do that?
You know, I never have. And it's really sort of, well, I take that back. I have seen some of it in Colorado, frankly.
Okay.
In some of these state legislative races. I mean, you look in some of these competitive state Senate races, and the Democrat candidates are essentially hiding in their basements.
Yeah.
Very similar strategy.
Yeah, well said.
And waiting for, you know, these independent expenditure committees, the rich, you know, gang of four, Maoist funding, you know, large expenditures to beat up the Republican while the Democrats just hide.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they do that, again, is, you know, they have to mislead the electorate into believing they're moderate because they're not.
And yeah, when they get into office, I know, Scott, you're exactly right.
Crazy things.
Really quick, I see a million Hickenlooper ads. I never see Hickenlooper.
Yeah, we're seeing Lauren Boebert on the Western Slope, Scott, going through basically the same thing. You know, the other campaign is spending gobs and gobs of money, yet that particular person's not out on the campaign trail much at all.
Correct. They hide in their basement. And they hope that no one's going to ask too many questions and that they're not going to talk too much. And unfortunately, I think the reason they're able to do this is because we have sort of the traditional mainstream media, as it were, that is completely in the tank for Democrats.
Yes.
And they let them get away with it. You know, you look at, you know, the Sentinel out on the Western Slope and Grand Junction. They're not asking hard questions of the Democratic candidate. They're letting them get away with just hiding in their basement.
Yeah.
And so with rare exceptions, they let them get away with it. And that's the dynamic we face today.
Scott, do you see the strategy working? I mean, I know the Democrats have now pulled out their ad money from the Hickenlooper Gardner campaign. They think it's over. They think they've got that one in the bag. Do you see the run out the clock and hide away because we're in a blue state strategy? That strategy, do you see it working? Or do you think it could cost
right now
them
it
a
is.
Couple races? You think it will?
I think it is. I think we're headed for very hard times in Colorado from the Republican standpoint. You know, I'm rooting for our candidates up and down the line, and helping where I can, but I think it's I think we've got a hard road to hoe here in Colorado right now.
We talk about that on the show quite a bit, Scott. I agree with you, and I don't think that it's for lack of effort on our side. I want to make sure I say that as well. I think there's a lot of great people out there that are really working hard at making sure that our voice, our side is heard. The problem is we've had so many folks from the other side move in, and along with that comes the politics they brought from whatever state or city or county they moved out of. They've brought the same things here, and that's what we're up against.
You know, I think that's part of it, but I'm not willing to buy that as the entire story. I think it's a combination of a lot of cumulative poor choices made by Republicans over years, and I think that's been exacerbated by the Democratic spending. But I think there's a lot of blame to spread around. So I will give you an example. Part of the challenge we have in Colorado among Republicans is candidate recruitment.
Of course.
And if you don't have candidates, or even if you have good candidates who don't get in until the last minute, you're handicapped.
Yeah, it doesn't help you. Right.
One of the huge concerns I have, a big example of what went wrong. Let's take Weld County, for example. So if you remember, we had Democratic legislator Rochelle Galindo, woman who sexually abused and harassed other women, and voted against her district when it came to oil and gas issues and putting people out of work and things like that. So there's a recall effort, a lot of energy and focus. She resigns, which is good. However, the Democrats appoint someone else through the vacancy committee process. Today, we don't even have a Republican candidate contest that race.
In Weld County.
In all of Weld County. Yeah, that's a mistake.
Right. So it's a swing seat.
No, and I agree with you there. And I guess
so that's poor choicing.
It is. And I'm not gonna deny what you just said either. I do believe that's a contributing factor as well. So I stand corrected. It's not just everybody that's moved in from out of state that's brought their policies with them. Although what they've done though is they not only brought their policies, they brought with them some of the money. They also brought in the Gang of Four, and there's been a lot of things that have happened, to your point a moment ago, when it comes to changing the face of Colorado. But I also will be the first person to say, Scott, that I think there's a lot of times where we lose particular races in this great state because we did not run the right candidate.
I would agree with you in certain instances. I would definitely agree with you. I look at it, though, from a more structural standpoint. And here's why. Because, we can have concerns or cast aspersions on some of our Republican candidates, and sometimes rightfully so. But have you seen the hot messes that the Democrats run as candidates? They're terrible.
True.
they're horrible, some of them.
But the difference, Scott, is they're, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, and this is the outside looking in, I'm not that inside, Republican baseball player that, a lot of other folks in town are. I'm more of that outsider that got into this because I did a talk show for years on cars, and somehow I ended up here, and I do this daily, and I've learned a ton about all these things and a lot of the inside players over the last 6-7 years. But the reality, Scott, is I'm not one of those inside guys. But one of the things that I do see, and I don't think I'm wrong in this, I believe the left has better leadership when it comes to organizing the things that you just stated than we do.
I would agree. Traditionally, I would agree. Not always,
not
at all times.
Not every single time, but in general, they've got better.
I've said
it for years on this show because I've seen it with my own two eyes. We stink and eat our own like no tomorrow. I don't see their side doing that.
No, they don't. Their side, the losers get cushy nonprofit jobs and are taken care of, whereas our folks are cast to the side. And you even look at political operatives, young campaign workers, and Republican circles, they help candidates for a cycle, get burned out, treated poorly, and then go to law school or business school and then stay out of politics. On the Democrat side, they foster that talent. They shift them or shuttle them into nonprofits that are well-funded so they continue to have jobs. Of course, those nonprofits are very politically oriented nonprofits.
Yep.
Help them out and then push them back into campaigns. So they've built a cadre of talent Whereas,
right, and I want to add something to what you just said, because I interviewed somebody years ago that basically took what you just said one step farther. And the other thing that they do with what you just said is a lot of those nonprofits have huge influence upon who actually votes for who. So not only do they take that particular campaign worker, go stick them in a nonprofit, where they then go out and garner a lot more votes for the next roll around, eventually that person could even become a candidate themselves. That's what they do better than we do.
Yep, absolutely. They push candidates towards local city councils, county races, so that they can groom them, prepare them to become candidates. They've built an entire ecosystem or environment where a lot of pieces are mutually reinforcing, and Republicans traditionally have sort of a very sporadic effort. They give up quickly. They don't. A lot of our donor classes, you know, whether they've become disenchanted or they've made bad decisions or whatever, has not by any stretch kept pace with what the Democrats have done.
You know, Scott, another thing that you bring up, which is very astute, is how you talk about the young people. Because I've done some time in the party politics, quite a bit of time, and there is a huge difference between being a young Republican and a young Democrat. A young Democrat, first of all, everybody understands they're the energy of the party. They're the AOCs. Secondly, though, they have a ton of money coming their way. They actually make a lot of money doing what they do for the Democrat Party. Young Republicans are treated as free help. And they are. They're treated as free help, cheap help. We run them ragged. And then the campaign is over, and then bye-bye. We'll use you again in another year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, and meanwhile, those you know, I'm old enough to where I begin to call them kids, but you know, those young adults, they're like, forget this.
Right.
You know, I want to have a career. I want to have a pathway. And that's why I say they all sort of, I say it tongue in cheek, they all go off to law school or business school, or they get a job, you know. And, you know, maybe they'll dabble in politics here or there for their future career. But we've lost a lot of good talent, a lot of talent over time.
I agree. I agree with a lot of what you just said. And to me, that is the thing that I think in our party we need to try to somehow get fixed is that, and let's face it, Scott, and I'm a big one on this, that isn't bottom-up. That's top-down leadership. That's where you get somebody at the top, at the state level, that really understands how all the stuff works, has to direct things in the right manner, get people on board, understand how to lead other people, not eat our own, and have a real red movement in the state. That comes from top-down leadership.
Yeah, and we also need leaders who can bridge the divides within the Republican coalition.
Yes.
I mean, someone who can be trusted by, you know, the grassroots, passionate people, but also can speak to, you know, quote, establishment, moneyed people. Because in my view, you know, 80 to 90%, you put, you know, you strip away the establishment label, you strip away the grassroots label, they agree on 80 to 90% of stuff. And the other 10%, we can, 20%, as Ronald Reagan said, you know, you can manage that. You know, but I think if you can get past that, but you got to have someone who can be trusted, who's earned those stripes to be trusted to be able to bridge those divides.
You know, Scott, division really does kill us on our side. And let me give you a great example, Cory Gardner. Cory Gardner is an ideal Republican candidate in this blue state. He really is. He has across the board appeal. But the Tea Party, which I am, I'm Tea Party grassroots and so forth, and I happen to love Cory Gardner. I'm a big fan. But you know as well as I do, a lot of them will not turn out for him. A lot of them will sit on their hands because they look and say, man, he's a compromiser.
Yep.
He is not everything that I want in my purest vision. And I don't mind their purest vision. I love it. It's a liberty vision. It's great. But it's like he has to serve a blue state. He has to serve a lot of voters who aren't like you. And then we'll put up somebody who, let's say, is very, very hardcore, you know, Tea Party, my type, right? And they don't sell to the middle. And meanwhile, we seem to be on the right, very willing to one side or the other, abandon our candidate if it's not our kind, while the left rallies. Am I seeing that right?
I think as a general principle, you are. I've not
general.
Seen that as much with Cory. Yeah, in general. I've not seen that as much with Cory. This election cycle. You know, look, I came out of the Tea Party movement in 2010.
Right.
When I was elected Secretary of State. You know, Cory's a friend of mine. I've listened to, you know, grumblings about him. But all of the folks that I've listened to on the Republican coalition who have grumbled about him are nonetheless going to vote for him and support him. So
the only thing I'm going to say along those lines, though, that I want to add to what you guys are saying is, and Scott, I believe you're correct, the only problem that I don't think these folks understand is when they grumble about somebody long enough, the people that hear them grumbling, even down the road when election time comes around, even though that person may themselves quit grumbling and start voting, that other person they've been grumbling to this entire time still remembers the grumbling.
And
that's a problem. And that's what we've got to stop doing.
I agree. 100%. And I will say this though. Getting thumped election after election tends to focus the mind. So I am hopeful after this election, and we'll see if Corey can pull it out. Again, I think it's going to be local races and the presidential a tough year for us. But if in fact it is a tough year, I think you'll see more Republicans more focused on, okay, it's time to stop fighting. We need to win. I actually did a study, and that assuming Democrats retain control of the state Senate and the state House, this will be the longest they have ever controlled the state legislature and the governor's race, and the statewide races in Colorado history. They sort of had this, they were on a roll for about 2 years during the Great Depression, but right now their ascendancy and their dominance is greater than it has ever been since Colorado became a state in 1876, and that is bad.
Scott, do you have time for one more segment? I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk business. I know you're a Secretary of State. I've been a self-employed business owner in Colorado since I was 22, so was one of your customers, I guess you could say, for a number of years when you were Secretary of State. And I want to talk a little bit about business. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do it. We'll come back. We'll talk a little business. Purefoy Chevrolet is up next. And if you've got anything in mind when it comes to buying a new or used vehicle, Purefoy Chevrolet can help you out. They are out in Fort Lupton, not that far of a drive, and it's like going back in time and doing business. Call them today at 303-659-8311 or find them online at purefoychevrolet.com.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. We want to get you to retirement, keep you in retirement, and make you have a purpose in retirement as well. That's where Al comes in. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Scott Gessler with us today, former Secretary of State of Colorado. And Scott, as I said earlier, been a self-employed business owner here in Colorado for a very long time. So I've sat under, you know, many different Secretary of States. And I will say that, you know, in general, and I really did enjoy when you were Secretary of State, because doing business in Colorado. And what I mean by that is the initial, you know, getting fired up, getting trade names, and you're in all the different things registered that you need to do to actually do business in Colorado. I will say that we, of all states, have probably one of the best ones in that regard to do business in that I know of.
Well, thanks. I agree. We're one of the best.
We do a great job. So those of you that are listening, it's really, I think a lot of folks, Scott, that get intimidated by, you know, doing their own business and running through all those things. And the reality is in our, and I don't know how much you had to do with a lot of this, but I know when we went more electronically driven and, things got changed even on the website side of the fence here in the state, you know, it is really one of the, in my opinion, one of the better places to do business along those lines.
Well, I like to think when I was Secretary of State, well, I know I inherited a good office. And I like to think we made substantial improvements on that as well. So, and that's the goal. You always want to improve.
I don't remember if you used to do this or not, but I know at one time there was like one day a year where there was a really inexpensive, I think it was $10 to register a new business, kind of an incentive to, you know, register a business inside of Colorado. Was that under you or was that after you?
Both. I didn't do the one day events. I would, you know, identify certain fees and provide a fee holiday for 3 or 4 months. But I do know that Danetta Davidson, a predecessor of mine, and I believe both Gigi Dennis and Mike Kaufman did that now and then as well.
Gotcha. All right, we've got a call coming in for you as well. Corey, you're on with Scott. What's going on?
Hey, John. This is Corey.
How are you?
Scott, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Good. Hey, Scott, I have a question about our ballots. In the past, if you wanted to change your mind about a candidate that you voted for, or maybe you filled out a proposition incorrectly, you had to go get a new ballot and start over from scratch. But now I'm seeing that we can line out the first choice and then put a second choice. So what kind of safeguards are in place? Because if I turn in my ballot and say I voted for Trump, but then it's out of my hands because I've turned it in, and somebody who's unethical come along and mark it out and say Biden, I mean, is that a concern?
So your question is whether or not someone could sort of go into your ballot, line something out, make a change, and then have that change counted rather than your original intent.
Right.
I do have some concerns about Colorado, but that's not one of them. Generally, okay. The clerk and recorder offices do pretty well. They do very well. You know, having a bipartisan election judge team open up the ballots, and a bipartisan election judge team run them through the tabulator machines, or at least be there while they're running. And then if there's a question about voter intent, there'll be a bipartisan election team that does that. So once you put it in a drop box, or once it lands in the clerk's office, I feel pretty comfortable about that. Now, there's nothing to prevent, you know, some bad guys out there trying to intercept the ballots, steaming it open and making changes. But that would be a problem that's always existed, and to my knowledge, has not been a problem in Colorado. So at least in that instance, I think we're probably going to be okay.
Okay. Corey, okay. Thank you. Appreciate
thank
it
you.
Very much. No, great question, by the way. Scott, what are some of your concerns with mail-in voting? Let's start here in Colorado, and then let's go around the country. I mean, can't name every state, but just in general, things happening outside of Colorado. My concern, by the way, is other states that are just now getting into it. I know how long Colorado's been doing it, and a lot of the safeguards that were put in place here in Colorado, which took years and years to get some of that foolproofed and done, and I just don't see other states coming online that fast being able to do that.
I think you're absolutely right. Look, Colorado, I'm always concerned about ballot harvesting. Yeah, people are limited to 10 collecting 10 ballots.
there's absolutely no enforcement whatsoever on that. There's no tracking of it. You know, someone can collect 10, drop it in a Dropbox, go back, collect another 10 or 20. There's just no enforcement. The other concern I have in Colorado is you don't have to sign a ballot. If you put a mark and have someone who purports to be a witness, and by the way, that witness signature is not verified, that vote will count as well. So those are sort of two security holes that we have here in Colorado. And my other concern is, I mean, we're seeing a regular degradation of the quality of our voter rolls and the quality of our processes under our current Secretary of State. You know, I mean, she sends out invitations for people to register to vote without doing basic data checks. I think, you know, what I've seen is demonstrated a real level of incompetence that I have found very alarming. So we're seeing that degradation. I mean, it's going to take a few more years before Colorado loses its sort of gold standard status. But she's working hard to make it that way. Our Secretary of State's working hard to ruin or reduce the integrity of our elections. As far as other states go, oh my gosh, there are just disasters waiting to happen. I've actually served as an expert witness in a couple lawsuits. But for example, there are a lot of states who are launching all mail, you know, universal mail ballot systems, and their voter rolls are really messy. You know, for example, in Vermont, one that I was looking at, a lot of those folks are rural voters who don't get mail at their address of record. And so the Secretary of State there tried to clean up the mail addresses, and it was just a fiasco. Everyone hopes it's gotten better. But it's a lot of work to try and get accurate mail addresses, and it takes more than, you know, just one quick mailing to people to confirm. It takes more than just a month or two. Pennsylvania, there was a lawsuit that was just dismissed on procedural grounds today. They don't even do basic checks against the Social Security death index to find out everyone who's died. So they have over 21,000 people who are dead on their statewide voter roll. And if you remember, Pennsylvania went for Trump last cycle by 46,000 votes statewide.
Yeah, Scott, matters. Scott, Joe is polling very well amongst the dead.
Well, that's because he's, shall I say, half dead himself sometimes. But all right, that's
mean. Whatever. That's okay.
Anyway,
well, you know, it's mean, but you guys aren't whole. You guys aren't super far off at times. I hate to say that.
Yeah, he's got one foot in the grave and one foot in a banana peel. The guy is
nuts. Good.
You know, and then a lot of states are implementing this and they don't do signature verification. A lot of them don't do signature verification, which to my mind is the foundation of election integrity when it comes to an all-mail ballot system. I mean, you have to recognize a mail ballot system is more prone to fraud and mistake than any other system out there. And so you have to be very vigilant to eliminate or mitigate those problems. You can't eliminate all of them. And a lot of these states aren't even doing the basic stuff they need to do. So I will defend Trump here. I mean, Trump is complaining and pointing out how some of these mail ballot systems are going to be a complete disaster. And then he turns around in Florida and votes by mail. And the reason why is because Florida seems to have a pretty good system, whereas other states have bad systems. So it varies state by state. And there's a lot of states that are launching into this stuff last minute, and they're not ready. They are just not ready.
Okay. Well said. Scott, I'll leave it at that. We really appreciate you joining us, former Secretary of State of the great state of Colorado. We do appreciate it very much. You're welcome anytime, Scott.
Well, thanks for having me on. That's great.
We appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. Have a great evening. Scott Gessler again, Extreme Auto Repair, coming up next, folks, and they'll help you with all of your vehicle needs as we head into winter. Don't forget tires, which are going to be a big deal here in the not-too-distant future. Tires right now, they sell at cost, plus they've got a $70 rebate on Cooper tires and a 15% discount if you mention Rush to Reason on anything you get done outside of that. KLZradio.com, 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong.
The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZRadio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Fleshing back, and Kevin Flesh wants to help you out with all of your legal questions, needs, anything you got going on. If you've been involved in an accident and you're not getting anywhere, please give Kevin a call today, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
Red light cameras, what's the scoop on those?
First of all, you'll get something in the mail with a picture. The picture has to be the person that owns the vehicle. That's the only way that they can ID the driver is by the owner of the vehicle. So if you're driving someone else's vehicle and they get the ticket and your picture is on it, tell them to throw it away because they'll never be able to ID who it is that was driving. So even worst case scenario, I'm driving my own vehicle. I go through an intersection. They get a good picture. They will send me a notice. I still say throw that away.
Yeah, because they need to serve you.
That's right. And if they personally serve you, then you have to deal with it. But if they don't, trash.
Yeah, trashola.
It's a complete revenue generator.
It's all
cities.
It is.
Yes.
It's just a tax.
Yep.
It's a driving tax.
That's exactly what
it is.
That's
all it is, people.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. FleshLawFirm.com. You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe, what's going on today, sir?
Afternoon, gentlemen. You too, Andy.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, did you guys talk COVID statistics
no,
today?
No, didn't get a chance to even get to it today.
Help us out.
Two quick. One.
Are we all dead yet?
One, I'm watching Sunday morning headline news, and they come up with this absurd thing. They go back 5 weeks and says, well, Trump held rallies in these three cities, and 5 weeks later, look at the hospitalization rate is way, way up. And clearly, you know, it was Trump's fault that these people are all in the hospital now. They went back 5 weeks, and what they ignored was cities like Denver, where Trump didn't have a rally, had the same or even higher increase of hospitalization. So once again, this thing about, you know, correlation does not imply causation, but they're trying to make the case. As I said the other day, 99% of heroin addicts drank cow's milk before the age of two. Does that mean drinking cow's milk causes heroin addiction? You know, clearly it doesn't.
Well, we got to ask Hunter Biden to be sure.
If he drank cow's milk.
Yes.
The other one, there's this hysterical chart that's all over the media. About 39 states are seeing, quote, increases in their hospitalization rates. Well, the increase is like from 2.3% of hospital beds to 2.5% of hospital beds. That statistically, that is insignificant if the number of COVID patients occupying your hospital beds has gone from 2.3 to 2.5 or 2.6%. It is absolutely statistically insignificant. And it's nowhere near the 40% hospital bed utilizations that New York and New Jersey saw back in April.
So, well, also, Joe, a number of states are putting out information and saying that, you know, their hospital bed usage is up, it's up, it's up. And I'm like, well, folks, first of all, very little of that is COVID, as Joe just pointed out. And secondly, what do you expect? You put off all these surgeries for so long. You got a backlog a mile wide. What do you think you're going to have now? Go ahead, Joe.
By the way, the state that has the highest, you know what the percentage of hospital beds occupied by COVID patients, what the highest statistic in the country right now is? What percentage of hospital beds is, do you think, is the highest in the country? 40%, 30%, 25%?
Oh, I think, if I'm not, and I looked at this data the other day, it's under 10, is it not?
9.6.
Yeah.
Where?
That was Wisconsin, 9.6.
And they just enacted their no more, you know, the bar restrictions and so on just what, yesterday or today, Joe, I want to say?
Yeah, that'll fix everything.
Yeah, it's not going to fix a thing.
And let's see, was what happened in Wisconsin 3-4 weeks ago? Was it a Trump visit? Oh, wait, no. Is there a place called Kenosha in
Wisconsin? Yeah. Heard of that.
Oh, geez, maybe it was the Kenosha continuous night after night rallies and protests. But even 9.6%, which is the highest of the bunch, is still nowhere near the highs of April. And big deal, you've got 9.6% of your beds occupied by COVID patients, but John is right. All the rest of them are people who have been putting off elective surgeries like knee replacements, hip replacements, rotator cuff.
Well, it's, the other thing too, Joe, it's amazing that the flu's gone.
The flu is gone.
Across the country. There's no flu cases.
We must have cured it.
We've cured the flu.
Oh, and by the way, Joe, you know, that wonderful state of Wisconsin is run by a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, is big into mask mandates and all that.
He's a apparently, he's a librarian.
Apparently, it didn't fix everything. Well, maybe he didn't read enough.
Well, he's a librarian. That's all he is.
Oh, and on that note, the country that has had a mandatory mask mandate, including walking on the sidewalk or riding your bike in Europe, you know what country that is?
Mm-mm. No.
France. France is having a runaway
explosion. France always runs away. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but France, when you look at the stats, if you go to World Meter, it's been on the news. France is having an explosive increase in their cases.
Right.
Here's a country that has had a mandatory, since August, masks in public. Not in buildings, in public. Walking on the sidewalk, riding your bike down the street, you must wear a mask. Yet their COVID case rate is exploding. Explain that to me.
Well, explain this to me, because I know you look all over Europe. How are they comparing to Sweden right now?
Sweden, which did not have the mask mandate.
Right.
They are, like, as an example, France and Spain are far worse than Sweden, both in terms of their cases, death rates, and hospitalization rates. And just go to the worldometer.com site, and you'll see that data, which will be updated in about 1 hour from now.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Give that again. Where do we go?
Worldometer.
Thank you.
Worldometer. Okay, real quick before I got 1 minute, Joe, do you think we're going to have more lockdowns coming from Polis in Colorado?
Yes.
I do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so too. I think in the matter of days, as we see some of the you know, cases increase and hospitalizations may even increase, which, by the way, folks, don't get alarmed. It's not that big of a deal.
The death
rate's not going to change much from what it's been, but he's going to look at that and come unglued and basically lock some things down. That's my prediction.
Despite the surge in cases, John, our death rate is down by 90%. At the peak, we were losing 35 people a day.
Yep.
We are now down to 3 people a day.
But these guys don't care.
The death rate is down by 90%, but it's the politically safe thing to do.
That's right. That's right.
Is to mandate the mask.
Well said. Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll see you tomorrow. Right. I appreciate you calling in as always. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And no matter what, if you want to get that kitchen done by Christmas, you got to get started now, folks. You cannot delay, can't dink around. Get into Enchanted, find out how it all works out, and get that kitchen going, or you won't have it done by Christmas. Go to klzradio.com or 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, tomorrow we've got several great guests joining us. Dr. Singh is going to join us. He is an analyst on President Trump's tweets. He's got a tool where they analyze them using artificial intelligence and gives the tone of the tweets, and he basically says it's not as bad as the press thinks that they are.
I would agree.
I also have Judge Jeanine joining us. Sheriff Joe Arpaio will also be joining us tomorrow, has a new book out. And then, of course, John Smirek, as always, in the 5 o'clock hour. So with that, guys, enjoy your evening. Please be safe. And those of you that are up there that are either, A, fighting the fires and maybe listening to us, thank you for what you're doing. If you're affected by the fire, our heart and prayer and thoughts go out to you as well. Stay safe, most of all, everybody out there. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Myself, Andy, and Charlie right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.